Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's first reading, the beloved apostle cautions us against deception. Little children, he says, let no one deceive you. 1 John 3, verse 7. This is one of the apostle's main concerns in his first letter. He writes, at the beginning of the letter, he says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 3. The word he uses for fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia, which means communion or partnership. So the beloved apostle's fear or concern is that there are those who are working to deceive the brethren. Why? In order to break up their fellowship. Not only breaking up their fellowship amongst themselves, but breaking their fellowship with the church, their fellowship with the truth, and ultimately their fellowship with God the Father and with the Son, Jesus. I write this to you about those who would deceive you, St. John says in 1 John 2, 26. Commentators say that John has in mind specifically former members of the local church who have now turned and are denying fundamental truths of the faith and are trying to induce and evangelize others into following them. St. Bede, commenting on the apostle's words here, says that the deceivers about whom John is writing are not only the heretics who try to turn us away by their false doctrine, but all those who divert weak minds from the promise of eternal life, either by charming them with the lusts of the flesh or by threatening them with the world's disapproval, says St. Bede. He could have written that today, essentially. Still as true today as it was in his day. The word deceive, planao, used by St. John, means to be led astray, to cause, to wander, to mislead, or to lose the way. Jesus, if he is the way, we believe he is, as he says in John 14, verse 6, right? If you lose that way, or you wander away from that way, that means you're drifting away from the Savior. Essentially, you're being deceived. St. Clement of Rome says, he who has forbidden us to use any deception can much less be a deceiver himself. Untruth is the only thing impossible to God, said the third successor of St. Peter. We know that Revelation 12:9 calls the devil the deceiver of the whole world. So those who practice deception and disseminate lies are acting as agents of the deceiver, as agents of the devil. The evil and uncharitable Lenin might call them useful idiots. The good and charitable Christ would say that they're people who know not what they do, as he said in Luke 23:34. He said that from the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. St. Josia Maria Escrivá said that the world thrives on lies even 20 centuries after the truth, with a capital T, came among men. And to that, G.K. Chesterton added that truth must necessarily be stranger than fiction, for we have made fiction to suit ourselves, he says, meaning that we're more often comfortable with what's wrong than we are with what's right. It may sound strange, but our Lord told us this 2,000 years ago. He said that the light, meaning Jesus, meaning the truth, the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light. Why? He said because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. So just like Eve in the garden who told God, the serpent deceived me and so I ate, Genesis 3:13, so too a lot of times people are deceived because they allow themselves to be, because many prefer the fiction of sin to the truth of grace. Sadly, it's pretty easy to deceive those who are young and impressionable. That's why the culture works so hard to indoctrinate children into the LGBTQ culture and other sinful mindsets and sinful behaviors at such an early age. Apart from a miracle, I really don't see it getting any better anytime soon. It's easy to deceive those who are immature and inexperienced. It's easy to deceive those who don't live in God's grace. It's relatively easy to deceive those who think that they're spiritual, but they're still got a long way to go in the spiritual life. And it's very easy to deceive those who just don't want to live according to God's commandments. The apostle says in 1 John 1:6, he says, "If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth." And St. John adds in today's reading, he says, "He who does what is right is righteous as he," meaning God, "is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil." 1 John 3, verse 7. So the first litmus test for knowing if someone is deceptive or not, or if they're living a deceitful life or not, is to see, are they living in manifest sin? It's probably the most obvious litmus test, right? It's clear that the person living in manifest sin is at least deceiving themselves if they're not also deceiving others too. A sinful life is a deceptive life. With people who live in sin, we need to pray for them. We need to look for opportunities to plant the seed of the gospel in their lives as well, because many of them don't know that there is a better way to live. Maybe they've heard about it, but they really don't know it. As long as we're praying for them, doing good for them, there is hope for them. Another litmus test for detecting deception is if people are calling or tempting us to break our communion, our koinonia, as St. John calls it, with the church. Just last month, our new minister general visited the U.S. here, and he actually paid a visit to the Apostolic Nuncio in Washington, Archbishop Christophe Pierre. The question of the SSPX actually came up in their discussion, and the Archbishop was very upset that some bishops were actually permitting the faithful to attend those services. He said they should not be doing that. They should not be allowing it. Why? Well, obviously because those services are sacrilegious, and those people are not in communion with the church, as we've pointed out in a number of other reflections. Whether or not something gets done about that on a level of the Vatican remains to be seen. But it's a concrete example of what St. John is warning about in his first letter. He's warning about those who would destroy our fellowship with the church under the false pretext, in this case, of actually being the true church. A third litmus test for detecting deception and the sin against fellowship is when people in the church try to make you think that you can believe whatever you want to believe and be Catholic at the same time, that you can embrace false teachings of the current culture and sinful behaviors of the world and still be right with God. So the other extreme, essentially. St. Hilary of Arles, commenting on 1 John 3, verse 7, says very simply, "Let no one deceive you by saying that there's nothing wrong with sin." Don't be deceived in that way. Number of priests and even bishops and some cardinals, unfortunately, do deceive those who are weak in the faith or worldly. I've heard about it, seen it firsthand, experienced it as well. So in order not to be deceived, in order to know good from evil, in order to discern truth from lies, you have to be grounded and formed in the faith. I suspect that Father Mike Schmidt's catechism in a year, which he just started a day or two ago, will be helpful for that, for a lot of people. And what does our Lord himself say? He says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you or set you free," he says in John 8, 31, 32. So know your faith. Know what the church teaches, know why she teaches it, and live a sacramental life too. Frequent confession, frequent communion. Also pray to our Lord very simply, "Lord, help me to not be deceived." Be devoted to Our Lady as well too. St. Maximilian Kolbe, in his prayer of total consecration to Our Lady, He says to her, "You who have destroyed all heresies in the whole world." So Our Lady is a powerful protection against deception. Also, in order not to be deceived and not be drawn away from the Lord, you also need to know God's love, too. You have to be able to interiorize and personalize God's love, as we've mentioned a number of times in our reflections. I won't be tempted to stray from the Lord if I know and if I've experienced His love for me. Good heart-to-heart prayer will really help us in that area. On top of all this, we'll close with St. Teresa of Avila, who says, "I'm positively certain that the devil will not deceive, nor will God permit him to deceive, a soul that puts no trust whatsoever in itself, that is fortified in the faith, and that is absolutely certain that it would suffer 1,000 deaths for any single article of it." So we'll add to that also that the virtues of humility and obedience are an even stronger guarantee that I won't fall for the lies of the devil, who's neither humble nor obedient. Knowing him, the devil actually hates humility and obedience, probably on par or almost on par as much as he hates Our Lady. Probably a little less, because he probably hates her even more. Let's ask Our Lady then for the grace to neither deceive nor to be deceived by those who would destroy our fellowship, our koinonia with the Church, with the truth, and with God Himself. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.